All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the April 10th regular meeting of the Chippewa Local Schools Board of Education. We will begin with a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by our CIS Students of the Month.
Thank you. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Hammond, would you call the roll?
Mr. DeAngelis.
Present.
Mrs. Finn.
Present.
Mr. Gullett.
Present.
Mr. Hershberger.
Here.
Mr. Shafrath.
Here.
Thank you.
We need a motion to approve the minutes from the March 13th regular meeting and the April 4th special meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Finn. Is there a second?
Yep.
Second by Shafrath. Are there any questions, comments, discussion? Hearing none.
Mrs. Finn?
Yes.
Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yep.
Mr. Gullett?
Yes, motion carries. Student recognition and staff recognition, Mr. Osborne.
I'd like to welcome and introduce all of our April Students of the Month. Our Students of the Month are our kiddos who are positive role models and show kindness to others, so we are grateful to have them here tonight. First, we're going to start with third grade. We have Regan Simpson. Regan is a new student this year and is a friend to everyone. She works hard daily, makes others feel special, and takes pride in all she does. We are thankful to have her at CIS. We also have Leland Irvin, who's not here tonight, but Leland works hard and is a great group leader. He has grown academically due to his work ethic, and we're proud to call him a Chip. In fourth grade, we have Samantha Pond. Samantha always goes. She comes to school with a smile each day and shows her love for learning. Samantha is a great addition to the fourth grade classrooms. We have Titus Myers. He's not here tonight, but Titus is a hard worker who gives 100% effort. He asks questions and volunteers in class. Titus is a role model as he gets along well with others and is a leader when cooperatively. In fifth grade, we have Ashlyn Krieger. Ashlyn is an incredibly hard worker who puts forth her best effort in all of her classes. She is kind, respectful, and is always willing to help both her classmates and teachers. Thank you for being a positive role model in the fifth grade, Ashlyn. Ryan is motivated to continually do his best in all of his classes. His positive demeanor is appreciated by all of his teachers. Thank you for always being willing to work with others and being an active participant in class. And in sixth grade, we have Alyssa Wiles, who's not here tonight. Alyssa is kind, is a sweet young lady who works hard and always gives her best. She works well with her peers and is always willing to help others. She leads by example. And we also have Zach Yeager. Zach is a nice, polite young man who strives for academic success. He is always smiling and shares his enthusiasm with everyone he encounters. He is a joy to have in class. CIS Students of the Month. And then we also have our Hazel Harvey Students of the Month. And we are going to start with second graders. In second grade, we have Zoe Stepar. Zoe is a very dedicated and sweet student. In school, she shines through her quick-witted and clever ideas. Her hard-working is evident, as she is always attentive and eager to learn. She is a problem solver, not just with her classwork, but also in the classroom with her peers. Zoe has fantastic thinking-out-of-the-box ideas. We have Abram Palmer. Abram is an amazing student. He is passionate about learning new things and puts forth his best effort daily. Kind friend who always works well with others and completes his tasks on time. He is quick to catch on to new concepts and shares ideas with others. He is always willing to learn or put his nose in a new book. Abram is a model CHIP student. In first grade, we have Phaedra Fisher. Phaedra is a well-behaved, hard-working student. She always tries her best and takes pride in all her work. She listens, follows directions, and is kind to everyone. Phaedra constantly has a smile on her face, and a sweet disposition makes her well-liked by her peers. She has shown growth and development with her literacy, phonemic, and mathematics skills. Her parents and family can be very proud of her. And in kindergarten, we have Miette Myers, who is not here tonight. Miette has done a fantastic job in kindergarten on her academics and is a positive role model for her peers. Miette is always giving her best effort and is a friend to all. And we all have Isaiah Perez. Isaiah is the April student of the month because he is very responsible. He puts forth his best effort every day. Isaiah has a positive attitude and is a hard worker. He is very caring and respectful of his classmates. Isaiah is one in a million. Congratulations to our Hazel Harvey Students of the Month.
Good. Thank you so much.
Can I get the wrestlers and the girls basketball players that are in attendance to come up to the stage? We had a really good winter athletically, specifically our wrestling program and our girls basketball program. Wrestling, we'll start with wrestling first. Wrestling finished third in the league. Coach Hall and the assistant had a great year, and that transitioned into the state tournament. From a district level, Ben Pierce as a freshman qualified for the state tournament. Obviously that is a big thing, but for a freshman to do it alone, win a match down there, an outstanding season for a freshman. Cam Davis was a state alternate at Nate Morris is not here. He was also a state alternate at fifth place. And then we had our girls. Isabella Adams was in the state, and Gabby Garten was state runner-up. So a phenomenal season for our wrestling program. Obviously a big step forward and a bright future. So our wrestling had a phenomenal. Girls basketball. Girls basketball split in a three-way tie for the league, and then you know we played Wayndale in the district final, and then we had a magical experience up in Cuyahoga Falls. Upset favorite, played a great game against Worldsville Heights, and then had a rematch with Castilla Margareta, who we played in a holiday tournament up in Sandusky, and unfortunately lost to a glorified all-star team in Columbus Afrocentric. So it was a magical run for our girls basketball program. Again, most of our girls are helping out at our middle school track meet. So girls basketball and wrestling, a great winter season for both of them.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! Use the step.
For an ankle. The unique thing, I saw the young ladies wore their state championship medals. I want you to know, a former player of mine, in 97 we won a state title, and she would wait on athletes up at Ken Stewart and Kevin Love, and then they would all come in and they had their championship rings. So one night that she had that special group, they put them in, she made sure that she had her ring and brought her medals in to show them off. And Kevin Love and LeBron James left her a $5,000 tip for winning a state championship. Don't lose those. You never know when it's going to pay off on that end. Now, the unique thing about all of this is success comes through. You have tremendous athletes and the time and commitment that they have for success. Nobody really understands what it takes to get there. And then to maintain it is even tougher. It's easier on the ride up. Then being able to maintain it is a whole different level of commitment, dedication, perseverance, and relying on others around you to make you better. So tonight, as I segue into our needle mover, you don't get there without somebody, with somebody pushing you, with somebody establishing programs, somebody establishing protocols, somebody establishing standard, somebody saying, this is the expectation we're going to meet. And once you meet it, you take another step. Then you keep on meeting it year after year. It is very tough to do that, let alone to do it for 42 years. So tonight, our needle mover, who has made a difference in our community for over 40 years, is down.
Congratulations.
Thank
coach.
You. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you. I think that's the first standing we've ever had for a needle mover. Well deserved. All right. Up next, we have item 3, consider approval of donations. I have none listed. Under item 4, public participation, I have nobody slated. Speaking public participation. So up next, we will move into the treasurer's update and agenda items. Mr. Hammond.
Thank you. A couple things on the front end. So the financial report from March that you're looking at tonight, a couple comments. Real estate tax, tangible personal property tax, those numbers will pretty much stay solid the rest of the year as we've received all the payments for this fiscal year. Collectively, this year versus last year, we're down about $100. The third line down on your financial report, you'll see income tax. That's the school income tax. At this point in time, we are up a little over $200,000. We have one more collection. It is due the end of April, and then that revenue source will have solidified for the rest of the year also. Good news is interest income. It's up $209,000 over last year. I continue to try and maximize our float, and also where I have my funds invested right now. Ohio being a big player in this, paying close to 5% versus early last year, maybe 8 basis points. Total revenue to date, we're approximately $115,000 over last year. So that's a good number. On the expenditure side, the needs a little explanation is that first line, salary, the benefits. And that's due to 16 payments made this year versus 15 payments year to date last year. That number by itself represents about $250,000-$300,000. And if you take that and you look at your total cash flow for this year versus last year, we're down by about $534,000. You take that out basically because of the increase in contractual union payments. Last board meeting I talked about OFCC, I talked about the closeout and that I had not heard anything, and within a week I got an email from from them. I'm still working on the numbers, but right now it appears that we will be returning approximately $88,000 to the state. And again, all of this is created by failure to keep the funds separate and to manage the interest that those funds should have earned while they were sitting in our possession. Looking forward, I have an updated five-year forecast that is going to need board approval in May so that I can submit it by the end of May. We have a board meeting scheduled for Monday, May 8th. It's going to be difficult for me to do that justice by May 8th. I probably won't even have the April financial report ready by May 8th. We can schedule a special meeting later in the month, i.e. maybe Wednesday or Thursday, the 17th or 18th, or even the 30th or 31st of the month. Or as an alternative, we schedule the regular board meeting scheduled for the 8th and move that out to May 15th. So I would leave that up to the board to decide which one of those options works, but one way or the other, I do need to have an opportunity to get the five-year forecast approved so that I can submit it by the end of May. With that, I'd like to move into my two action items. The first one is the approval of the March financial forecast. The second one is my attendance at the OASBO conference here beginning next Tuesday and ending on Friday morning.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by DeAndre. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
Just a comment. I'd like to thank Mr. Hammond for condition and going to these, you know, conferences and keeping us current and in compliance. I think very important. So thank you.
Thank you.
Since you mentioned it in your comments, does anyone have any scheduling conflicts on that Monday the 15th that they know of now, or we can come back?
I'll have to come back to it.
Okay.
I'm fine. Go ahead and schedule whatever you need.
Right, we'll discuss and work it. Anything else? Okay. Hearing none.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Hirschberger?
Yep.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Golub?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Up next, we will move into the superintendent's updates. Item A, facility presentation. Mr. Osborne.
I'm going to put the screen down. You have a copy of the presentation on paper there if you want to see it on the screen. The stands here, but for everybody else, I'll put this down. Much like our athletes and Coach Schrock and Coach Hall, what you saw here tonight is every day you just got to get better. Little by little, day by day, you just got to get better. And that is true in education. We continue to do those things and we get better. We look at ourselves, we look at trends, we keep ourselves updated with 21st century. And what I'm bringing for you tonight is facilities. Our facilities do not meet the 21st century. One of the responsibilities of a board member, and probably don't want to hear this, but it's your job to ensure that we have proper educational and secure facilities for the children of Chippewa Local School District. And tonight I'm going to present that I'm a major concern with Hazel Harvey in its current condition. And as we move on to slide two here, Hazel Harvey has served well for almost 70 years. Unfortunately, this building is not suited for 21st century education and does not meet the needs of our students. For those of you who are going on the next slide, that would be slide three. As you see here in slide three, over the past 3 years, we have consistently spent money just to keep the facility operating. I have a $628,808 figure that Mr. Birch got me from fix-its. This is not prepared and done. These are fixing problems where the problems are. All the way through here, in 2021, some of the major ones were kitchen repairs, air conditioning repairs, window air conditioning installs, boilers, HVAC, plumbing, all the way over. We have a boiler system that is so old they do not make the parts for this boiler system. So we have contractor to design it and make it to fit. It only took 9 months for that part to show up. Blacktop and concrete repair, lighting repairs, pumps, windows. Over here, you can see each thing that we have put money in for the past 3 years, we have put into $628,000 just in repairs. If we move to our next slide, the updates in the kitchen were required by the health department. The Hazel Heilwer furnace pump, which I needed to have parts manufactured, that's just one pump. That is just on one boiler. We operate two boilers on a school that used to have three. There's nothing to say that the next pump won't go out and we're back to where we were, trying to get this updated and fixed. Our system is outdated electrically, plumbing, HVAC, and needs major updates. We recently received a grant to get new doors and up the archaic fob system that we have to help better secure the building. Currently, we have one exit, return exit into the building. So if we'd have weather come up on us, all the kids would go to one single door and we try to get in the door. Where we should be here, if we're waiting on the doors to come in, that we'll have three doors that have a fob updated, and that way we can fob them in three different doors if we'd ever have to return into the building quickly. Right now we operate under one. So these are just fixes that we can have money to, but it doesn't solve any of our problems. On the next slide, you'll see for the past 3 years, I just totaled, this is the bill that we pay for electric, gas, water and sewer, trash, and what we call the seasonal maintenance, what would it takes us to cut just to maintain the building. And with a light winter, you can see that we are averaging $7,000, $49,000, back to $40-some thousand, almost $50,000 a year just to operate the building. What I'm going to recommend is between the $800,000 and the $150,000 here, we are piling money into a building that is aging and does not meet our needs. Slide. We have updated CIS at the same time. And what you see here, there's no permanent improvement levy dedicated to our two oldest buildings. The only permanent improvement money we have goes to the junior senior high school under that bond issue and can only be spent at the junior senior high school. So general fund money that is going into that. The renovations are taking place in at CIS, and renovations are taking place there. One of the major renovations we've done at CIS is to the HVAC system. After 3 years of engineers trying to determine what the problem was, we were finally able to determine the problem was a control system that was pulling back the motors that were designed at one to run at one speed. The system was actually making them run at a slower speed than what they were designed to, which burned up the motor. We're in the process of replacing all of those motors, and that which was done over spring break, and replacing all those motors. And we're using ESSER money with those ESSER funds for that to be able to replace that because it fits that. We've done hallways, classrooms, restrooms, the cafeteria, gymnasium, and the multi-purpose room all have updated LED lighting. And at the far end, as you can see here on the slide, we have new entrance doors coming in at CIS that come to the playground or the athletic entrance, which will be connected to the same fob system that is at the high school. So we're moving into one fob system to operate both doors, and the front doors will be secure. Currently, you can walk in CIS once you're fobbed in, but then you can run through the doors and be gone. Those doors would be locked. You'd have to be fobbed in a second time. So we are able to have a secure entrance here. And all this is, I would say most of it is funded through a grant. We'll use the word partially is what we provide, is partially funded through a grant. So we're going out of our way to keep our buildings operating in a safely manner and using grant money when it's available to us. The next slide you're going to see is both need updates. Hazel Harvey needs new windows. Hazel Harvey needs, as actually Brad showed me today, we actually received today, and I'll have to get a copy to the board, but received the health departments, and one of the first things they talk about is we have stains in the ceiling tiles that need to be replaced from somewhere water's leaking in the roof. So we're going to have to fix these things. Lighting. We have no air conditioning. We have wall units. Plumbing. It is a constant battle with 70-year-old piping to maintain it. When? So one of the big things with these pieces, windows, roof, electric, lighting, air conditioning, plumbing, if we were to update these things and fix them brand new, the second problem is that the building built in the 50s, therefore it has asbestos. So we'd have to abate the entire building. The moment we get into one of these projects, we are shutting down that school for an abatement project to be able to go through any one of these things. The Chippewa Intermediate School, windows. Chippewa Intermediate School needs a new roof. Where we're at is two aging buildings, one closing in on 50 years and the other one closing in on 70 years, and we are piling money into these buildings just to operate. We are not fixing them to a 21st century standard. As you move on to the next slide, here are options for the board to consider. Option 1A, this is a K-6 building. I'm using the numbers, $27 million. I'll tell you how I got to that number. The current OFCC number is $385 and change per square foot. So on the OFCC website, you can go there, look at your building, tell you it's a new building, K-6, and it'll also tell you how many students are in the building. You get an idea of your square footage, you do the math, and it comes to approximately $27 million. So option 1A is do a bond issue locally, and we build our own building. Our rules, we can start the moment with the bond issue, and we get out there and do that. The borrowing, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to borrow that amount. Option 1B, we go back to the OFCC, and similar to the junior-senior high school, you have about a 60-40 split. That has to be determined by the OFCC. As you heard from Ira just a little bit ago, we're just now getting close to closing that account of a building that we've been using for 5 years, and we still haven't closed yet that account. So the big problem with the OFCC is that's 3 to 5 years out. Our number will not be called for another 3 to 5 years. So now we have a contingent with Hazel Harvey. We still need to fix Hazel Harvey as we go and keep piling that money in. Second thing with OFCC is they have a standard of size. You need 10 acres plus 1 acre per 100 students. Currently, averaging about 100 kids per class, we would need 17 to 19 acres to build pre-K-6 building by OFC standards and to get, and they control. And lastly, option 2, which I kind of brought forward a little bit with in 2020 with the House Bill 153, we add on 18,000 square foot. That's an addition to CIS. Renovate the current classroom spaces that are not being used. We have empty classrooms at CIS. And we turn the multi-purpose room into an auxiliary gym. And so one of the big questions is, what do we need another gym for? Well, when you have a rain day and you have kids that are supposed to be on the playground and you have a gymnasium and you have seven grades in it, kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and you have a seven period day, that means there's a gym class in there during every period. Therefore, we need a place for kids to go during non-gym time, you know, an opportunity in there. So we need to do something with that multi-purpose room and clean that up so kids would be safe to play in there and why we convert it and have the ability to create it into a gymnasium, rubberized floor, and do that. That's why it needs to be included in any type of addition onto CIS. All right, let me check where I'm at on my space here, because I'm going extremely fast, but I'm trying to keep a very 75,000 foot level of this and not dive into details, because it has to happen to even get started with this piece. I did contact Garmin Miller, and Garmin Miller was our architect, our criteria architect, back in 2020 when we were pursuing the House Bill 153. And told them that we would look more at putting an addition onto the building and turning the multi-purpose room into another gymnasium multi-purpose room. Their recommendation was to add 18,000 square feet, which would be 10 classrooms and 3 offices and 2 restrooms onto the end of the building, which what I would say is facing south towards Valley View, out into where the teacher's parking lot is, and that's secondary parking, which to me right now is just the driver's ed place. That's all I ever see you use that place. But attach out in there, it also includes a playground. So you look, we would obviously have a change in traffic patterns in our school, but that's where the addition would come, along with the redesigned inside the building with the classrooms to ensure that we have our elementary kids in there. So we don't have to worry about the acreage at that point in time because we control that. The renovation of the multi-purpose room would then serve other purposes with our youth facilities that would be able to relieve some of that strain on our other facilities by having that multi-purpose room. So slide 10, the last slide. Next steps. One, I want to do a community survey and see which one of these options our community supports. Get out there and let them know not only the cost it takes, but we have 2 aging buildings. I believe that CIS is a very functional building and one that currently houses kids. We have extra room in there, and it's a viable option for an extension. But it's also the ability to build a brand new building. To have 2 buildings, getting better little by little, day by day, to have 2 buildings that are less than 10 years old is set for our children for the next 30 to 50 years. We have proven that we can maintain buildings that long. The future is set, and this would be the group of people that got it together and got it done. We need to listen to our community and decide what they're going to support. We need to analyze that feedback and determine the best option to move forward, whether it's building or adding on the CIS. At that point in time, once that decision is made, we re-engage with Miller, who's our criteria architect, which is unique. There is no deadline once you hire a criteria architect if the scope of the plan has not changed. So realistically, our scope of the plan has not changed. We can deny their building what they suggested the last time and re-engage with them or assess again if we want to do another House Bill 153 and pick a new criteria architect. But I have been working with them, and they have not billed us. Of all the phone calls that I've made to Ted M, I think it's Muskowitz, I can't sure of that last name, I've never received a bill from Ted as to anything that I've asked for. He's continued to work with us. When we've run into him at OSBA down at the conference, he meets, he talks with us. It has never been an issue. He's continued to be committed to our facility needs. Then design it, plan it. We have to determine a financial plan, determine the best way to finance the project and find options for financing this project, whether it be going to the ballot, whether it be borrowing money and paying it off on a loan, either way or a combination of these things, we are just taking good money and piling it on a 7-year-old building that needs so much work at a tune of $800,000 every 3 years. That's more than what we would pay if we would have to borrow some of the money just to pay it back on that piece. So Unfortunately, it's not a question and answer time, but if the board would have any questions for me, I could answer those questions. I'm going to hit the button to send this back up, so don't run away on me. And lastly, I'd like to publicly thank Jody Hughes for not only creating all these slides, but running that slideshow out there for me. So thank you, Jody.
Hey, Todd, I have a question. So looking through these options, I mean, do we even have enough land to do this?
We did a little study on this. We could use CIS. Here's my biggest concern regarding using the land CIS. We go all the way back behind that red barn, and then we go all the way down to the kind of gas house down there. Well, I don't know my neighbor around town. I forget the name of that street.
Maple
Street, thank you. We own land down, bring us into the 20 acre. Here's a problem, and I have, if we would go OFCC, and I'm sorry I'm not answering your question directly, but it's somewhat complicated. They will not build a competition gym in their new school. We would have to get rid of the current baseball and build there, because we'd still have to operate CIS while we're in it, and build there before we'd be able to move in. The acreage fits, but the placement school would be where the current baseball field is, into the hill, back behind the tennis courts, and down into parts of Parfitt's Paradise to be able to have the building with the square footage for a pre-K-6. That is not, and what I'm saying is, that's a big concern. And we would lose a competition gym. That would have to be for local money, because they do not put competition gyms in an elementary school. So we would lose that gym at the current CIS.
Thank you, and I had clarification around the OFCC as well, so that helped.
They also have a question for me.
When looking at survey options, we've used PAC Group in the past for strategic plan surveys, things of that nature, correct?
Yes, we've used them, and our shit's correct.
Okay, so looking to get this out soon, do you have a general idea of what methods we would use to get survey community members and then get them back to hear feedback, or maybe just like a summary of how we did last time with the impact group and surveying?
I've worked with Mr. John Murdoch, and his work on the campaign was phenomenal, so I did engage in a conversation with him to see if we can do it in-house before somebody to help us. So John said that he would work with us. We do have some talented people in our own district of creating the surveys, and Google allows us to have the survey piece and the use of our own communications, final forms. We can get it to every parent's hand, but then getting it out to people that don't have kids in our school, we can get it to our website and find other ways and methods to be able to get them the information. But I would like to take a shot at creating the survey ourselves before we employ somebody to go out. But I have no problem engaging with the impact group. They did a fantastic job, or if there's any other group come to mind.
Do you have any timeline when you think that survey could potentially be going out, or?
I'd like to have a survey in front of the board in May to look at it and make sure that its needs, and then get that out in May. Then cost of construction goes up. We've seen what's happened in the past 3 years with everything else with cost. So I think time is not of the essence, but time is not our friend either.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hearing none, we'll move into the superintendent's agenda, item A.
Okay. Asking for the approval to renew the following classified two-year CAC 23-24 and 24-25 for Paige Shafrath.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn, is there a second?
Second.
Second by DeAngelis. DeAngelis. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger? Sure. Mr. Shafrath?
I'm going to sit this one out.
Mr. Gillen?
Yes, motion carries.
Okay. Asking for consideration to approve the preschool sliding scale for the 23-24 school year. As you look on there on the monthly, it's there in the middle in the highlighted piece of Exhibit A that I just recently gave you. It, on step A, just so you can read, family size is one, it has their income. If their income is at or below, there is no charge to a preschool student. If B, and you keep that one, family size of one, and that is their yearly income, they would pay $30 a month. It was previously 25. It has not been raised in my 5 years here. So each one of these monthly payments, I'm asking for a $5 increase. Our cost has blown up considerably, but we have not raised this since I've been here. So I'm asking for a $5 increase. So if you look at each one of those months, the previous month less than what's listed there, for I'm asking for approval.
And also C.
Are we enacting these under the same motion, or it's just saying there's no?
Yeah, this is the scale. I'm just explaining it to you.
Well, yeah, the agenda doesn't have a line under motion B.
Oh, I missed that.
We'll
vote for this one.
So we're including item C in this one?
No, I'll go that one separate.
Oh, motions?
Please.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by DeAngelis. Are there any comments, discussion? Hearing none.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yeah.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Golub?
Yes. Motion carries.
So, and under Exhibit B, I'm asking for consideration to purchase a new lawn mower. The laser deed, it is a 72-inch mower. I'm looking for Brad just to give me a nod. Okay, yes.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by DeAngelis. Are there any questions, comments, discussion?
A quick one. This takes place 2 months ago. Brad presented some information to the board.
Yeah, we've had
that
the
mower didn't work out, so this one's going to be
correct.
The one.
We didn't think
it needs. And this can do hills,
yes,
et cetera. And thank you for putting a sunshade on it on that price. I'm safety, safety, safety. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yeah.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Golub?
Yes. Up next, we will move into the superintendent's consent agenda. Items under the consent agenda are considered routine and will be enacted under one motion. Is there anything you'd like to highlight on the consent agenda?
I'd like to congratulate all the way down to K, as we have four teachers that have completed at least 7 years of work and have earned their master's degree to be eligible for continuing contract, and they had the recommendations of their principal to receive a continuing contract. The Camp Newhop under L is a yearly thing that our kids go to. Handbooks, we are going through a board policy review, so we have no changes in our handbooks. You know, and if the board policy review would make some of those changes, I will bring those changes back to you, but there are no substantial changes. Dates and times are the only changes in the handbooks with that. That is all.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by questions, comments, discussion?
Just have a comment. I am so happy that they're doing the camp again. I think it's a marvelous experience for our students. And I appreciate the administrators and teachers who go and work with that. And I like to see our staff continuing to move upwards. I appreciate that dedication to their skill and their.
Absolutely. Is there anything else? Hearing none.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yeah. Angelus?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yep.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Golub?
Yes. Next, we'll move into our board discussion. We'll start with a policy committee update. Mrs. Fenn wanted to give the board an update.
Mr. President, before she gets started, may I ask to be excused for the rest of the meeting?
Yes, you may. Do you need me to take the minutes? Or?
If you would.
Yes.
I would appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. I wanted to let the board know, and this will become board information. I will put this on the Google Drive. Just wanted to let folks know that the Chippewa Local School District has had a relationship with the Ohio School Board Association since 1956. We've been working under guidance and their mentoring for 67 years. We have been working with OSBA since 2002, which is 14 years. The Superintendent's Policy Committee members, Mr. Oster Hammond, Mr. Golub, and myself, we met with Kenya Hancock. She's the Senior Policy Consultant of OSBA. On Tuesday, March 28th, from 4 to 7 p.m., we reviewed sections A and B. I want to make sure people understand that school board policies are based on the United States Constitution, the Ohio Constitution, and the Ohio Code, which is state laws. There are required school policies that cannot be touched or altered by local school board. The majority of changes that we will be making are due to changes in the laws or regulations. Some changes are being made due to style changes since the last manual was completely updated, which was January 24th, 2011. Some changes are caused by individual sections being deleted as laws have changed. Each and every policy has to be board approved. The committee is moving forward with the policies which are required and or the policies which have no choice of wording. Of just a simple breakdown of Section A, there are 31 policies in Section A. 20 of those policies are required, which we can't not touch them. The remaining 11 policies were added to Section A. These policy reference, there was at one point that if we had, this is just an example, policy AB, and it was not dead that we had that policy, but it was cross-referenced to KC, but it was not denoted on the index page that we had that policy. You had to go to policy KC to see if we really had KC. It's the same thing as AB. So getting all that cross-referencing back in, and that is one of the wonderful things of having the policies on. So we're getting that so that it's much easier to search our board policies. Date, we have six policies just from Section 8 that are slated for full board discussion. So there's a lot that goes into this, and I think we are going with approximately $5,000 with OSBA. School districts, we can write our own policies, although since they're so legal, we have. So we're looking at easily spending $250,000 to update our policies. So I guess going with OSBA is a wonderful deal. And the input we are receiving is very informational. They're adding the new things and things that items that have changed. And being other school districts have done this, have you thought of this? So there's a wonderful flow of communication.
Yes, I found the first meeting. We have another one scheduled for Wednesday, correct? The policy committee, right?
Yes, we have another one for Wednesday. Sorry, what?
Your last sentence about the policies.
To date, six policies from Section 8 are slated for full board?
Yeah, because we've pulled out some.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That are going to require the board to weigh in on it. They're either crossed or added onto. Mm-hmm. We have what's required, and there's a couple of policies that should require, that will require a total board consent before we move forward with that policy. There's a couple different options to that policy. You can say this, or you can say this. Mm-hmm. So those types of policies we are tagging with OSBA to bring back to the total board to go over during a board meeting everything that we believe has options to it for the board to weigh in on. Yeah. One of those pieces.
Yeah, a few of them are things we've already discussed. Board self-assessment optional policy was one of the policy was we flagged for full board discussion. A board code of ethics was another one that we flagged for full board discussion. So those we will bring to the entire board in an open, obviously public meeting. What I did want to ask on that point was, do we want to try to schedule some work sessions for when we're ready to bring these instead of trying to shoehorn them into a regular meeting? So we'll obviously have to work out dates and times, but I think it's probably better, more efficient, whatever you want, have these specific discussions in a work session isolated from our regular meeting. So I don't know if anyone, any specific thoughts on that?
I personally, since I've been working on policy for 7 years, would like to get this project completed And I think if we devote meetings to just that, because I think these policies are very critical, show what we're getting caught up with, that we have to get these straightened out. And I'd like to see us really dedicate the time, because they've added the board's assessment, but before we even do a board assessment, they're saying you need to do an individual member. Each member needs to do their assessment, which means I think we're going to need to talk about what words mean to us, because generational, there's different meanings to words, and I think we need to agree with it. It's very difficult to do an evaluation when we're not having the same, you know, definitions of words.
Yeah, all that's good open discussion to have. So
yes.
If I were to, and I don't know what our time frame would be for the full board, but at some point I'll reach out with whenever the policy committee is ready for some dates and times and try to figure something out that works. That sounds good with the other members.
We have another 3-hour meeting scheduled this Wednesday.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that time flew by fast.
Oh, yes, it did.
Does
Thank
anyone
you.
Else have any more comments on the board policy update? No? Okay, moving on to item B. That was mine. So really quick, the community reinvest was founded, I want to say, in 2018 by Village of Doylestown. It sits members from obviously, I believe, the township and one school board member or just a representative of the board. It's a unique tax incentive program to owners and developers who wish to upgrade their properties either by renovation or new construction in certain targeted areas of the district, and they meet on an as-needed basis. And so recently had an opening on that committee, so I asked Mr. Schaffrath if he wanted to accept the position on that committee. He has graciously accepted. And I don't believe we need to take any board act. Last time we had to put somebody on the committee, it was just in board discussions. I just wanted to bring it to the board. And Kyle, do you have anything you'd like to say? Or?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, good deal. Does anyone have anything?
Thank you, Mr. Schaffrath.
There we go. Okay, and Mrs. Fenn wanted to add one item to talk about the Village Council.
Quickly, Village Council, I've been going this for 7 years, and just wanted to do a quick update that April 22nd is Village Cleanup, 9 to 11. The Lions Club is having the National Day of Prayer. There's a luncheon at 12 noon. Tickets are $9. You need to make your reservations by May 1st, and you call 330-658-6342 to make your reservation. The village is also abolishing the Board of Trustees of Public Affairs as they're going to a charter. And they're changing what type of shops can be in our handy dandy town. No pawn shops, vape shops, tattoo parlors, hookah lounges, oh, smoke lounges, and vapor lounges. No selling paraphernalia typically associated with controlled substances. So just let people know there is going to be a spring Thrive Day, which is in May. Thank you.
This might be that generational gap you're talking about. What's a hookah fest? What was that word you just used earlier?
Hookah lounges.
Hookah lounge. Or should I not ask
we
that in a public
are?
Meeting?
I know what a hookah is.
Is that something I shouldn't ask in a public meeting? Okay.
A hookah lounge is where they would have these tall pipes with large bowls, and you put your favorite and go and smoke it.
Okay. I just didn't know.
Things that you smoke things in.
Yeah.
Google it.
I put it very positively.
My undergrad was online, Kyle.
Okay.
Moving on. All right. I have no items under new business, and I see no Christopher executive session listed.
Mr. Gollum?
Yep.
Mr. Hammond did ask about a board meeting while we're here.
Oh, okay.
If we were. So he has to submit a 5-year forecast by the end of May. So he has for tail. He'd hand you the packet. The packet sits there. He'd have to have that submitted by the end of May. So you either schedule a special meeting where we come in and approve the 5-year forecast so he can submit it. It has to be board approved. The more time you get, easier. If it's beneficial to move the meeting back to the 15th, that would not impact any hiring or approving class of 2023. My recommendation would be keep the May 8th meeting and then work on a meeting date just on the 5-year forecast.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. But yeah, that's fine by me. The May 8th worked for me anyway, so we can get a special meeting schedule. I'll send out some dates. Is that good for everyone else? Okay.
All right. Then we'll get that posted.
Yeah. Any other? 15th, the 22nd. Okay. Well, the 29th is a holiday, so 15th to 22nd.
Okay. Are there any other items to discuss? I'm sorry, I should have asked before.
You're fine, thank
hearing
you.
None. Hearing none. I have no items under new business unless somebody has something. No purposes listed for executive session unless somebody has one. So is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Fenn. Is there a second?
Second.
I think that one went to Mr. Hirschberg. Are there any questions, comments, discussion? Hearing none.
Hearing none.
Everyone seems ready to go. Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yep.
DeAngelis?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Gulb, yes. Time at 6:58 a.m. I mean, p.m.